The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and this is the Sunday Roundup. As Brexit negotiations hang in the balance, with David Frost in Brussels today to try and restart the talks, Sophie Ridge was joined by the Environment Secretary George Eustace, and the first item on the agenda was Brexit. Ridge asked Eustace for his take on events as the deadline for a deal approaches.
We've all seen the dramatic briefings overnight. It's always hard to unpick exactly what is going on from the rhetoric. But what is the situation with those trade talks and how likely is it that we're going to get a deal?
Well, look, the British negotiating team is returning to Brussels today following the conversation that took place between the Prime Minister and the Commission President yesterday. It's in a very difficult position. There's no point denying that. For several months now, there have been sticking points around issues such as access on fisheries and also so-called level playing field provisions. There was some hope early last week. Some progress was being made. And at one point, it looked like there might be a breakthrough, but obviously then the European Union added a whole load of additional demands after that, which caused some problems. So, you know, we're going to continue to work. We'll continue to work on these negotiations until there's no point in doing so any further. But there's no point denying either that what happened late last week was a setback.
It's interesting you mentioned there about the EU adding these last-minute demands. I can't help wondering if this is all part of the charade. Last-minute, unreasonable-sounding demands that eventually the EU pulls, you can claim a win, and then actually just end up caving in on all the other disagreements before.
Well, we will find out in the next day or two whether it is a sort of exercise that the EU's engaged in, maybe to have one final try to get a few other things over the line, whether this is a choreographed thing on their part to say they've tried and then back down. Who knows? But what I do know is that we, as a government, have had a very clear position from the beginning on this. We're negotiating with the EU as a sovereign equal. There are certain things we've been clear from the start that we cannot compromise on, and that is our sovereignty as a nation, our ability to control our own laws, and our ability to control access to our waters. Those have been clear from the beginning. And while, of course, in these areas we can give undertakings and have political agreements, we can't do anything that fundamentally violates our sovereignty, and we've been clear on that from the start.
Rich asked Eustace about the status of the internal market bill, which notoriously threatened to break the EU withdrawal agreement in order to keep Northern Ireland economically aligned with the rest of the UK.
If you don't agree a deal by tomorrow, are you going to reinstate the parts of the internal markets bill that break international law? And are you preparing to introduce the finance bill that does the same?
Yes, we will. These clauses are very important, in the event, particularly in the event that we leave, obviously, without an agreement. It's very important that where the joint committee process between the EU and UK fails to come up with clarity about how the Northern Ireland Protocol should be interpreted, it's absolutely crucial that the UK government has the powers to provide the legal clarity and the legal certainty that business will require at that point.
And if the deal is done, those clauses will be dropped?
Well, what we're saying is these powers, we brought them in, particularly when we were hoping actually for there to be an agreement. They may be needed under any scenario in a way, but if the joint committee process is unable to come up with the clarity that's needed about how the withdrawal agreement should be interpreted, given that it affects Northern Ireland, which is, part of the UK, the UK government will have to legislate to provide the legal clarity and legal certainty about how that agreement should be interpreted. Only the UK government can do that.
Andrew Marr spoke to the Shadow Cabinet Office Minister Rachel Reeves about what Labour's next move might be if the government does succeed in reaching a deal with the EU. Would Labour back it?
Well, let's see. At the moment, the priority is to get a deal. But we'll have to look, of course, at the content of a deal, but also any legislation that comes to Parliament. We're not going to give them a blank cheque. But I think I have been very clear, both today and on previous programmes with you, Andrew, that the most important thing is that the government get a deal. We want that deal to be delivered. We will look at any legislation that comes to Parliament.
I just want to press you a little bit further, because you have said no deal is the absolute worst thing, and therefore it follows that you would back a deal in the House of Commons. We know pretty much what a deal will look like, so you can't really say, well, wait and see the detail, because we know what the deal would look like. And I ask you again, will Labour back Boris Johnson's deal?
Well, I think that we've been very clear that we want the government to get a deal, and I'll reiterate that now. That is the most important thing. But we can't say how we're going to vote in a hypothetical situation without seeing the legislation.
Well, it's without hypothetical. It's coming very soon.
Well, we hope it's coming very soon, Andrew. Mm. We don't know that. And actually, the most important thing today is to put pressure on the government to get a deal done. We will look at the content of any legislation and make our minds up based on that. You know, the Prime Minister, it seems, doesn't even read his withdrawal agreement and Northern Ireland Protocol. That's not the Labour way. Keir Starmer and myself will make sure that we understand the implications of any legislation before voting on it.
There's a basic logic here, though, Rachel Reeves, which is you've said no deal will be worst possible outcome, and therefore a deal has to happen. And if a deal has to happen to avoid no deal, why would you not back it in the House of Commons? Surely it's logic.
Look, we want the government to get a deal, but we would need to see the contents of any deal or any legislation before we sign on the dotted line. But I think I've given a clear indication that we want a deal. We want the government to get a deal because we think that is in our national interest. And Labour will always vote and act in the national interest. But so we're not going to give a blank cheque to the government.
Ridge interviewed the former Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, who issued a stark warning for the government if they did not reach a trade agreement.
If Boris Johnson does come back with a trade deal, should Labour back it?
I don't think you can say what you do about the deal until you know what the deal is. But what's actually happening is, if there is no deal now, I see huge international implications from what he fails to deliver. Because we would be in an economic war with Europe that would cost us very dearly. Food, drugs and everything else, we'd find it difficult to get into the country without tariffs and without hold-ups. But we'd also be in an economic war with America, because there'd be no chance of a trade treaty with America. And so Boris Johnson is going to end up as the most isolated prime minister in peacetime history, with no friends around the world, because he has simply chosen a path of confrontation when everybody knows that it's in Britain's economic interest, maybe not in the Brexiteers' ideological interest, but it's in Britain's economic interest to get a deal, and to get a deal now.
However, Brown was slightly more optimistic about the future of the union, even if he felt some big changes would be necessary.
I think if there was a referendum, we'd win it and Scotland would stay in the United Kingdom. But it's going to be a hard battle because people are frustrated, they're fed up, not just in Scotland, but in the regions of England, in Wales. And I see a sense growing right across the whole of the United Kingdom that people feel in the regions and the nations, they're not being listened to, they're not being consulted. Westminster Whitehall is out of touch. And that's why I think we've got to say that at the end of this COVID crisis, we're going to review the way we govern ourselves, the way we manage affairs, whether it's public health or whether how we manage the economy, recession, industry, employment. And I think we're going to have to get a far better balance between the powers that the nations and regions hold. And I'm talking about the areas around Manchester, Liverpool, Newcastle, Bristol, London, of course, all the different parts of the United Kingdom. They need far more powers of economic initiative. And the centre will have to admit that it cannot do everything itself and that centralisation is not working in the way that it could.
Ma spoke to the French MP Alexandra Holroyd, who told him that even when and if an EU trade deal is signed and ready to go, there would still be a few hurdles left to clear.
If Mr Barnier, negotiating for the EU, does compromise over the next couple of days, will France veto the whole agreement?
I find this question of veto quite puzzling. Since the beginning of this procedure, it follows a procedure which is in the treaties of the functioning of the European Union, and which requires every single member state of the EU to agree to the final deal.
And
so
therefore, France
every
has
member
a veto.
State of the EU is liable to veto this deal or is liable to accept it. Just as, incidentally, the British Prime Minister is absolutely liable to veto the deal as well. It's very clear that in the end, it has to be the 28 leaders, so the 27 plus the British Prime Minister, who agree that this deal is the right deal for it to actually take effect?
I'm just coming back to the same question, really, I suppose, because you've all moved behind Michel Barnier as the negotiator. And my question is, if you don't like what he has negotiated, France does veto.
I think that the Minister for European Affairs, Clément Beaune, has been very clear that this deal, once it is finalised by Michel Barnier, will be examined by every capital in the European Union. And every capital in the European Union is likely to make its own decision on whether it wants to veto or not. And it has the right to veto.
And finally, Dr. June Rain, the head of the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, said that she is fully prepared for the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine, whatever the political weather.
It's a very, very complicated business, inoculating the entire population or a large chunk of it. Do you think that the Brexit situation is going to make things more difficult in any way?
What I'd like to say is that our goal at the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency is to make sure that whatever the outcome, whatever the deal, that medicines and medical devices and vaccines reach anyone in all parts of the country in the same way without any interruption at all. And we've rehearsed, we're ready, and we know that whatever the deal, we will be able to ensure that people have access.
And would you be concerned about no deal?
As I say, we've practiced, we are ready, we are fully prepared for any possible outcome.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast is produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free round of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.